Now, I confess, the Transfiguration is one of those stories that I have some trouble with. It's that magical story, the supernatural, and the voice of God, and the light from heaven, and well, it's a little bit weird sometimes. I don't really have anything in my experience that I can relate to, and I'm not sure what to do with this story. And I think, you know, there are parts in this story like the passion prediction. When Jesus says to his disciples, listen, this is exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to be betrayed. The priests are going to hate me. They're going to get me arrested. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised up in 3 days, and everything's going to be good. And, you know, looking at it through a skeptic's eyes or maybe through a scholar's eyes, you can say, well, this was obviously written after all of these events took place. So the author of Mark knew what was going to happen, and he just pretends that that's what Jesus said. But there's so much in this story that's pivotal to the story of Jesus, that's pivotal to the gospel that we read. And as I think about the story, I think about all the possibilities, and I hear Jesus asking me, just like he asks the disciples, who do you say that I am? And I admit that question changes from, or my answer changes from day to day, or from moment to moment. Like Sandra was saying with the kids, there are all these different possibilities. We can look at Jesus as a preacher, as a teacher, as a healer, as the Son of God, as God, or maybe just as a good guy who knew what he was talking about and was really eloquent. Maybe we look at Jesus as somebody who offers comfort, somebody who can come and help us when we're sick or when we're down or when we're sad, or maybe we can think about Jesus as somebody who challenges us. Challenges us to get out of our comfort zone. And some of these more fantastic stories, these supernatural stories, maybe that's part of what they do, is they challenge us to think outside of the box. Now, Jesus offers a real challenge to others in this story, to the disciples and to the crowds. And he says, following me isn't going to be easy. It's going to be hard. You need to take up your cross. You need to lose your life. You need to give up who you think you are. And that's a real challenge. That's something that's hard to think about. And it's one of those things where if we take it on the surface of what he's saying, I'm not sure I agree with it. I don't think he's saying that we should go out and die, lose our life by giving up our breath. But I do think that Jesus is saying that it's up to us to transform who we are. That we need to get out of our comfort of earthly living, of having the fancy houses or the biggest TVs or the most comfortable cars. Our focus only on us. We need to be focused on others. We need to reach out to people that we don't necessarily get along with. We need to not look at others as enemies who need to be destroyed, but we need to accept everyone with a love in our heart like Jesus. But what do you think it means to lose yourself for the sake of God? You know, Jesus, another prediction that Jesus has, he talks about the kingdom of God. He says, those of you who are here right now, there are those among us who are here right now who will not die before seeing the kingdom of God. And it was interesting when I was looking at these two predictions, the prediction of the passion and then this prediction that people will see the kingdom of God. And well, if my cynical brain is saying that the passion prediction was obviously written by somebody who knows the final outcome after it had occurred, well, this prediction seems wrong. Jesus says the kingdom of God is going to come before Peter and James and John or some of these other disciples, before you even die. Well, now we're like 2,000 years later, and I'm not so sure about that. If the kingdom of God had come already, then everything would be perfect, right? We'd live in a world where everybody had enough to eat and was warm enough and everybody got along and there was no more war. And so I had to think about that a little bit more. And it reminded me when I was younger, I don't know exactly when, you know, teenage years in my 20s maybe, those real searching times in life, times when I had wandered away from the church that I grew up in and wasn't really sure where I was headed. And I remember thinking things like, well, if only I could see God. If only I had that sign from God, a voice from heaven or a bright light in the sky or something. If there was just something that I could feel inside of me that I knew that God was with me, well, then I'd be all on board. I'd give myself up to God. I'd give up my life to God. But where I couldn't find that sign, where I was looking for it and I was looking for it and it didn't happen. And then one day it dawned on me, well, wait. I'm hoping to fill this empty space inside of me, but what if it's not really empty? What if I'm out there searching for a sign that I've already experienced? If I'm searching for God's love that's already in me? And that started to change my path in life. I stopped searching and started opening up my eyes to all of the ways that God is around me. And I think that's the same with this idea of the kingdom of God. I can say that Jesus was wrong, that all of those people died before the kingdom of God came about. Or I can explore the possibility that it did, that the kingdom of God is here, was here then and is here now. And instead of looking for that wonderful, perfect world where everything goes right and everyone gets along, I can open my eyes wider. And I can see the kingdom of God in some of the simple things. In those times when we gather around a communion table and share a meal together. Those times when we share a simple sign of peace together in church. I can hear the kingdom of God in the laughter of children and the cries of friends. And I can see God when we reconcile with people that we haven't gotten along with for some time. And so all of those things start to show me that maybe the kingdom of God does exist. Now in this story, when Peter and James and John witness this miraculous event, this bright light, and a light from inside of Jesus seems to be glowing, and when the voice from the cloud comes by, Peter's first reaction is, "Nobody move! We're building a house right here, and we are not leaving this spot." And I wonder what Jesus' real thoughts were. Jesus kind of calms him down a little, but I think that the message that Peter needs to get is, you have seen God's glove. You have seen God's glory. Now you need to come down off of this mountain, and you need to go out there, and you need to share this good news with everyone that you encounter. And as I open my eyes, as I recognize the kingdom of God around me, I think that that's our call too. When you can start to see God's love in your neighbor, when you can start to see God's love in the one that you call enemy, when you can start to see God's love in the big and the small things, go out and share that love, share that light with everyone that you encounter. So there's a lot to unpack in this story. Who do you think that Jesus is? How do you see the kingdom of God? And how will you take God's light and shine it throughout the world? I'll give you a moment now to think about those. Amen.